chapter 13-ish. I learned ish from my girls. Because guys don't ever do that. Right? You never hear guys get together. Oh, would you like to get together? Oh, what time? Oh, you know, 10-ish. Totally a girl deal. So anyhow, go to the book of Romans around 13-ish. So whatever ish is. Anyhow, can you believe it's the end of the year? It really does. It's interesting how you look at time. Do you remember when you were young, it took you forever to get your license? I mean, forever. Every year that went by just seemed like a drug on and on. Or if a guy, how long did it take you to be able to grow your first mustache? Forever, right? Or your first facial hair, or, you know, whatever. It took me forever to grow my first hair on my chest when I was 13 years old. I was so proud of it. It was about an inch and a half long. I had one. I had one right over here, and my brother said, oh, let me look at it. And I said, I ain't going to show you. You'll pull it off. He said, no, I won't. I showed him, and he pulled it off. Took me years to regrow it, but I'm 54. My wife is 52, and there's something that regulates all of our lives. So I'm going to ask you how old you are, and out loud, I want you to say how old you are, okay? How old are you? 9. I heard that one, yeah. I heard somebody over here say 57. Who over here is 57? Mm-hmm, okay. Okay. A good year, yeah. Cool. Who's the oldest? Who's anybody in here over 80? If you're over 80, raise your hand. There's a little boy back there going, I am. Over 80. It's Joanne's mom. Mm-hmm. How old are you? 81. Let's give her a hand, I think. I was looking over there to see if Brother Walker was over there. He'd have you beat. Or I was looking for Junior Spain over here. But yeah, how many of you know time is not a respecter of persons, right? It's going to march on, march over, or whatever, just regardless, right? Time never looks at a person and goes, well, you know what? I'm going to be easy on you, or I'll slow up for you, or I'll let you catch up. Time just keeps marching on and is no respecter of persons. It is the most expensive commodity known to man, right? Once it's spent, it's gone. Christmas 2014 is now history, right? We can't go back and change a thing about it. It's everything that happened in 2014. Actually, what happened this morning is history. And it's scarce, but yet it's very abundant. And two things that people kind of look at time. I'm going to talk about time today, how precious it is. Time is viewed by some as a curse. By others, it's viewed as a gift, right? Think about the person that, let's say, has gone through and battled. You probably all know people that have maybe had a bout with cancer and won. They view time completely different. They view time completely different than all other people, right? If they've come up against cancer and, you know, came near to the end of their life and they ended up coming out on the other side victorious, they view time completely different than somebody else, right? For them, every hour that goes by is just a precious thing. Almost, I would never want to get it that way, but it almost makes you envious of how they view time. Because you get around somebody like that has succeeded maybe in some type of an illness. How many of you know, like, these Ebola patients that have come to America and you know, gotten over Ebola? How many of you know they view time completely different now than everybody else? Because they realize that time is fleeting. Yet at the same time, time for some just blows by without a second thought to it. I was sharing in first service, I was talking to some people this last week about Christmas, and it's just very interesting, the responses. I was doing it on purpose to just confirm some of my thoughts about how people view time. I was talking to one person, I was in D&B, I think, and I was talking to one person about Christmas, and you know, out came the Scrooge, and said, so, what are you doing for, you know, you doing anything special this Christmas? Are you looking forward? Oh, it's just another day. And I thought, you old toot. Oh, it's just another day. These people just make too big of a deal about it. I says, well, yeah, okay. I said, it is a pretty special day. I mean, you know, I would agree with you. It's just another 24-hour period, but it's marking a pretty significant event. Oh, yeah, but these people, what? I said, dude, what's your problem? Well, I just don't, you know, whatever. It's just another day. I said, well, how old are you? He gave me his age, and I said, oh, you do mark time. You know, because he went on this diatribe of how holidays and stuff like that, people just make too much of it, and birthdays, I don't do birthdays, and da-da-da. So when I asked him how old he was, he told me how old he was, and I said, oh, but you do mark time. I said, if it just means nothing to you, well, how would you even remember how old you are? And, you know, I said, now, what's the next year that's coming up, 2015? I said, oh, you do mark time. Yeah, but I just don't. He goes, what are you getting at? And I says, well, what I'm getting at is how people view time. It's just interesting. I said, so are you not looking forward to the new year? Oh, it's just another day. I thought, you old. It's really hard for me not to say the word. I thought, you old. I said, are you just getting grumpier the older you get or what? He goes, I don't know. I said, okay. But at 54, so we got a group of young people over here. And I'll guarantee you, they view time completely different than the way I view time. Right? Completely different. Theirs is not wrong. Mine's not right. Mine's not wrong. Or theirs is right. It's just that you view time different. And today I want to kind of just direct our thoughts on how we view time. How do we look at time? How can we look at time in a positive way? Or you know, because here's the thing. Time is pretty ruthless. And it's going to keep marching regardless. I can't believe it's the end of 2014. Let me ask this. I grew up in church my whole life. I grew up full gospel. I grew up in the Assemblies of God. During my era, in terms of my younger years, that was a pretty strong era that Jesus Christ is going to come back again, right? And so how many of you are with me that you honestly thought that you would never see the year 2014? Raise your hand. I didn't. I never thought I'd ever see that year. I never thought I'd see the year 1980. I was a junior, and remember during pep rallies? I don't know what pep rallies in Idaho look like, but pep rallies in Colorado, you know, when it came time for each of the classes to do their little, you know, jig or whatever it was. Ours was when the juniors walked in, our deal was 78. 78, 77, 77, 78 had a rhythm to it. Are you with me? Right? You could do that with 77. Had that same rhythm. 77, 77, 77, 77, 77, 76. All those. So it was my junior year that the 80 group came in. So it came time, you know, 79, 79, 77, 77, 79. Here comes the 80. I mean, you're just like, serious? You don't even fit rhythmically, let alone any other way, right? Because, I mean, when you're that age, I mean, somebody 2 years younger than you is just a kid, right? And they know nothing, snot-nosed kids. And 80, I just remember going, everybody busted up laughing. It's like, you don't even have it going on rhythmically. It's like, 79, you know. So there would be 77, 78, 79, and then 80. But I distinctly remember, I could take you to the place that I was sitting in the gymnasium when the thought hit me, I'll never see them graduate. Guess what? We're 34 years past 80. So time just keeps marching. So what does that say? Well, it says a lot. Maybe the church viewed that whole deal maybe a little bit through rose-colored glasses, right? How many of you remember that, you know, well, we won't get off on that. We knew who the beast was. We knew what the mark of the beast looked like. We knew everything, right? We knew who the Antichrist was. It's like now we know nothing. We obviously knew nothing. But anyhow, now I'm, you know, long past graduating in 1978. And here I am, 54 years old. And I view time completely differently. Completely differently. Part of it's just a season, right? Every new year that you go through is a new year you've never been. So you just, you know, whatever. But there's people that try to beat time. I did a series, quite a lengthy series, on flowing with time. How important it is to understand the time and flow with it. You try to swim up against stream with time, time will win every time. Right? Have you seen that? The only way I know, you see it with men too, but you see it a lot maybe with women. Have you ever seen women that try to swim against time? My wife, I'm not going to look at my wife. She's like, serious? You're going to go down that road again? Yep, we are. Because, now, some of you may be city people and maybe not understand what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it and then let it sit for a while, and I think you'll get it. If I see the look on your faces that you don't get it, I'll explain it. You ever seen a mutton dressed up as a lamb? Let me say it again. A mutton dressed up as a lamb. That's when you got a 70-year-old lady that's trying to look like she's 25. A mutton, an old sheep that's trying to look like a lamb. You ever seen that before? Now, all the ladies are mad. I've seen guys do that. Have you ever seen a guy that you know, is trying to look like that as well? Okay, regardless, they're both ugly. Now, I'll say that if a barn needs paint, paint it. Are you with me? Okay, so it's not... I'm trying to find a good exit here. I'm trying to... not going to exit out of this. Okay, it's one thing. It's okay to look good. But I think one thing that we would agree with, that there's a huge element within our society that thinks they can beat the effects of time. And I just say this, understand it, flow with it, you'll have a far easier life. I'm not talking about, you know, all I'm talking about is if a person, have you ever been around somebody that lives in yesteryear? I mean yesteryear, that all of the stories they talk about are yesteryear, that person's having a tough time swimming with time. They're trying to swim against time. They're trying to bring everything back. Everything was better, you know, whatever. And, you know, maybe there are some things that was better years ago, but how many of you know there are also some things that are really pretty cool, yeah. Right? The idea is that I'm trying to just simply say is, and, you know, if I could give that series in a two-minute nutshell, understand where time is and flow with it because you'll never beat it. It will beat you every time. Amen. Now, don't go extreme with what you think I'm trying to say with that. All I'm just simply saying is if you can't accept where you are within time, you've got a difficulty that you might ought to look at. Does that make sense? How many of you know we can grow old very gracefully? Okay, we can grow old very gracefully. And how many of you know God's grace is available for any moment in time of your life? Amen. So with that, I can tell I ticked some of you off. So anyhow, let's go. Time's very interesting. We gauge our life by it. We celebrated some birthdays, 34 years old and 48. We celebrate anniversaries. Your smartphone has a thing on it that's called a calendar. You got reminders, all sorts of different things. We use those things. We are totally, if I could say it this way, bound in the sense that time regulates our life. We measure things by it. We talk about the good times. We talk about bad times. We ask, what time is it? Which we're not always necessarily asking for a physical time. We're just, you know, time is one of those things that, because we're regulated by it, very few people seem to be able to manage it well. Amen? Have you ever felt like time was controlling you? So as we approach the new year, I just want to give us some points to just ponder. These aren't heavy revelation points. They're not necessarily points that, you know, are exhausted in and of themselves, but they're just points that some people... Because this last year was a tough year. How many of you had a tough year this last year? Raise your hand. How many of you had some tough things happen this last year? Maybe you wouldn't necessarily say the whole year was tough, but some tough things, all right? And guess what? Next year it's going to hold some things, too, that are going to be jaw-droppers, right? Next year is going to hold some things that are going to shed some tears over. Amen? Next year's going to hold some things that we're going to dance dances over. I mean, all sorts of stuff. The kicker is that it saddens me when I see some people dreading time, dreading the future. Man, if this year was so bad, I don't even hardly want to step into the future, right? For a lot of people. But I just say this, you know, I y'all probably thought I was joking when I said that when Bob said that he had 2 good years left, and I said, you know, I'm in the prime of my life. Okay, I get that maybe from a physical side, that maybe some people would look and go, yeah, I don't think you are in the prime of your life, but I'd totally beg to differ with you. Oh, I'm not talking out that I could go out and compete with all of these young folks. I could probably beat most of them. But, yeah. Oh, I'm not talking about that if I was to enter a foot race with them that I could beat them at the 100. Or, you know, whatever it may be. But you know what I do believe? I really believe that I'm in the time of my life. Why? Because I'm 54? No. It's because of how I view time. If you were to ask me when I was 20, I'd have told you the same thing. I'm in the prime of my life. If you ask me when I'm 70, my answer to you is going to be, you know what? I'm having the time of my life. I'm in my prime. Because in God, it's how you view time. If you look at your life and think your life's about over, oh, I went through some of those things that you look at that as you grow older, you know, I look that probably I'm past the bell of my life. Do you understand what I mean when I say past the bell? Okay. I probably understand that I am past the bell of my life. I know some of you now are adding it up. I get that probably at least half of my life is over, if not more than half. I get that. There's a side of me that was a tough one. I'll be real honest with you, that I had to look at that and go, ooh, wow. But I'll tell you what it does for me. I won't allow it to put me in a point of, oh, all this time's gone. That's silly for me. Yeah, you do whatever you want to do. But for me, that's silly. Because I can't change anything about the past. Now, wouldn't that be wonderful if we had a redo? Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful if we had a redo on some things? We'd probably do some things differently. But here's the clue. We don't, so get over it. Okay, we don't have redos. We can't redo a test. Carson this week, he didn't do so well on a lesson, on an online class that he was taking. And thank God for his dad's sake. He wasn't thanking God the same way I was, but it's like, honey, we can do better than that. Well, he goes, look at the big picture. I'm passing. You know, now what I'm not going to tell him. Oh, he's back there on the camera. Hi, babe. Make sure it's still in focus. You pay attention to the camera, not what your dad's saying. So, now follow me. No. So I get it. I get the 13-year-old little boy. It's like, big picture, I'm passing. What's the problem? But dad's whole look was a little bit different. Yeah, but it's not just in passing. How many of you know nailing time isn't just getting through it? Isn't just chalking it off and go, well, I got through today. Thank God. No, we can do better than that. And I told him, you will do better than that. But I don't want to. It's like, I get it. I really do get it. But, you know, it was a parent-child teaching deal. It's like, there's a bigger principle here that you're missing. Okay, I get the idea that you're passing. But the kicker is because you didn't like that assignment doesn't mean that you can just not do it and get a zero and still pass. We don't do that. There's a bigger principle in life you're here to learn. I don't want to learn that. I get that too, but you're gonna. And the cool thing was, he says, well, I can't retake that. And it's like, oh, yes, you can, because, I put the arrow, the computer arrow over a little deal, and it says a redo is allowed. I said, see, you're stuck. You're going to retake this deal. And so he did, and, you know, he did well. And I wish we had a redo in life, but we don't. So we have to set some parameters of how we view time. And how we view time is really, really crucial to how the time will pass away. right? We all got this when we were a little kid. Every one of us in here, our parents or somebody in authority, ask us to do something to which it was not fun. Are you with me so far? Right? And when I was growing up, my stepfather would, you know, Saturdays was a cleaning day, always. So the shop needed to get cleaned or something like that. And if any of us, the girls didn't have to do anything outside, us guys did, me and my brother. If we rolled our eyes, slumped our shoulder, did anything that put off an attitude, right? And if you did that. Parents, if your kids are here, how many of your kids did that? Raise your hand. Okay. My stepfather would just he was brilliant. I don't know if this was a cold, calculated deal, but it was brilliant. He would just very nonchalantly, Lynn, you need to clean the shop today. And my response, because we just took apart, you know, a motor or something, and there's tools and junk everywhere. And cleaning the shop meant you need to put all the tools back in their spot, hang them all up on the board where they need to go, sweep the floor, do the whole nine yards. How long's that going to take? And he would just very nonchalantly respond without raising his voice. And he'd say, and when you're done with that, I want you to clean the garage. And if it was, you know, it was okay. And when you're done with that, I want you to go wash that tractor off. I said, I'm never going to get done. And when you're done with that, you just keep going. So being the smart man that I am, well, back then, it's like, I wonder if there's anything I ought to learn here. So I responded one day positively. Lynn, I'd like you to clean out the shop. Okay, I'd love to. Nothing else I had to do. I got it figured out. But you know what? Now, I didn't put it in this framework back then, but did you know what? Here's what now I've tried to teach my children or other people. A project that's going to take you 4 hours, the time doesn't give a flip whether you like it or whether you don't. It's still going to take you 4 hours. So now you have the opportunity. I have the opportunity to make those 4 hours go by miserably or wonderfully. 4 hours is 4 hours. I don't know how many times I've been in a situation, you know, maybe working with a colleague when I was younger or something like that, of saying, you know, dude, your attitude just sucks. The kicker is you're getting paid for 8 hours a day. So you've got the opportunity to make that a wonderful 8 hours. And as a Christian, I worked around mostly Christians. But you know what? You can do your work as unto the Lord and 8 hours go by and you can have an enjoyable time. Or it can be hell for you. For 8 hours can just be hell. So you choose. Paul uses this concept. He calls it something that maybe you've never thought about. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15 says something like this. Walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. Verse 16 says, redeeming the time. Everybody say redeeming the time. I asked the first service, what they thought about the words redeeming the time. What does that mean? And all got it pretty well. But I want to put a little bit different twist on it. When we hear the phrase redeeming the time because the days are evil, it goes on to say, most people get, you know, make the most of your time. And that certainly fits. But I want you to go a little bit further. We have a redeemer, Jesus. We've been redeemed, which we call it our redemption. So in redeeming the time, to me, it's that concept that I just spoke about. Time by itself, if I could put it in spiritual terms, is all moral. It's neither good nor bad, but it can be both. For some people, time's a gift. Other people, time's a curse. For some people, doing a four-hour job that sucks, that's just awful, it's a curse. Why? Because they haven't redeemed it. Does that make sense? They haven't added a different value to it. They haven't changed the value of it. They haven't done something to make it different. It's still 4 hours. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if a girl's doing it. Doesn't matter if a guy's doing it. Doesn't matter if a person's doing it that loves it or that hates it. It doesn't matter. It's all moral. It's just there. But the kicker is, as a believer, we need to live in a different way. What do you mean by that? Do we need to go back to the old times? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that Christians need to have a different understanding when it comes to time. Romans chapter 13, let's read, starting in verse 9. So this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Rome. For the commandments you have, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, not covet, and if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Verse 13, and do this, look at this, knowing the time. Everybody say knowing the time. Knowing the time. So my question is, what do you know of the time? What do you know of this time? He goes on to say that now it is high time. Have you ever had anybody say this? It's high time. It's high time that you wake up and smell the coffee. Right? Have you ever had a coach tell you that? Have you ever had a parent tell you that? It's time that you pull. It's time that you look at things from a different perspective. Are you with me? Right? And do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. So what's Paul saying? He's saying, listen, you need to understand what the time is. It's time that you wake up, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. How many of you know there's a phrase in the agriculture community, you need to make hay while it's day. What does that mean? The biggest picture about that is this. In light of this sermon, you need to understand what time it is. And the fact is with that phrase, it's listen, you can do it now, so you better do it now because you may not be able to do it tomorrow. Because now's the time. Christians, we need to understand what time it is and then make decisions based upon our understanding of time. It's interesting when you talk to some people are clueless when it comes to time, even when it comes to specific time. It's like our appointment was at 11, but you defined it as 11-ish. And your ish went on the far side of where I thought the appointment was. It's 11:40. You call it ish. I call it late. Are you with me? But I didn't think it was that important. You thought wrong. Because your value of time was different. And it points it out. You've been there before. You've been around people that... Have you ever been around people that... There's something sweet about it in some senses. Sort of. With an asterisk. But some people just kind of have this... What I would call a third world view of time. Well, there's always tomorrow. There's always tomorrow. That's the phrase in the third. There's always tomorrow. What are you Americans so uptight about? And I get it. Us Americans can be really uptight when we find ourselves in a third world. But you know what I would say to there? You need to understand the time there. The time there is not the same time as here. So we can do damage, actually, if we don't understand the time when we're there at that time. Kind of getting confusing. It's like I was looking back to see if she was looking back to see if I was looking back to see if she was looking back at me. Look, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. So what does that discourse have to say? Well, here's the thing. We need to understand the time and then live with that understanding. That's why he says, let us walk properly. Go to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. There's consequences for not understanding the time. Or we could even use the Ephesians phrase of not redeeming the time. Paul says this to the Hebrew church. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. What he's saying? He's saying to this group of people, he says, listen, you're living in a way that you're not valuing time. And I'm, and this is the Apostle Paul talking, and I'm telling you, because you haven't redeemed the time and you don't value time, you're way past. You're not even close to where you should be in time. He's saying, listen, you ought to be eating solid food. He's talking about spiritual food. You ought to be eating solid food by this time. If I could put it maybe in just natural deals, it's like, dude, you're 10 years old and you're still drinking a bottle and eating baby food. You're way past the time. You should be on to eating solid food. So listen, we can find ourselves, if we don't value time, we can find ourselves on the short end of time to where we're not managing it. It's running over us. And time will march right on top of you. Amen? Look, Jesus, chapter 1, verse 15 of Mark says, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The time is fulfilled. Galatians chapter 5 says this, and when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. Time is very, very crucial. It's going to march away, but do we live with an understanding of, do we understand where we are in time? Very, very important. Paul understood it, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. Paul understood it for the Hebrew church. Paul understood it for himself. He said, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul had that sense on the inside that, you know what? I've fulfilled what God's called me to do in life, and the time of my departure is at hand. It's a precious thing, and it's also a very saddening thing. I've sat at the bedside of many people that have, I'm going to say fortunate to be at the bedside of many as they breathe their last breath. It's a heavy deal. It's just a very heavy deal. Some was so joyous. I mean, just joyous. They're like, you know, times that leading up to their last breath of going over things, I tell you, it's a joy to be at the bedside of that saint that says, you know what, I've had an incredible life. The blessing of God has just been amazing to me. And you know what? There's nothing left that I have to do. I can't wait to see my Savior. And many of those people, I've been singing with them or something, and they just breathe their last breath and go into heaven. I mean, that's just, there's a sadness there, but there's also on the inside, it's like, yes, that's how to go out. I tell you what rips your guts out. What rips your guts out is to be at the bedside of somebody and for them begging for more time. I've never, ever had somebody beg for more money, more things, but I've had multiple people beg for more time. I just wish I could do it all over again. I just didn't do it right. I just, there's not enough people. I couldn't get to so-and-so. I couldn't apologize to so-and-so. Oh, I tell you what, if you just want to have your guts just wrenched in a knot, I don't want to go out like that. I want to go out like the Apostle Paul says, I've run my race. I've finished my course. The time of my departure is at hand. Had a very acute sense of where they were. You may say, yeah, but listen, I'm just trying to get through life. Oh, listen, don't try to just get through life and have the proverbial calendar on the wall and then just mark off, well, I made it through today. Now, let's have the idea that we look at the calendar and we can't wait for tomorrow. Because why is tomorrow so special? It's called the future. Because I can manipulate it. I can't manipulate the past. What do you mean? Can you manipulate the future? Oh, I can't manipulate time in terms of creating more of it or having less of it. I can't do that. Time is time. But what I can do is I can look at the time that's ahead of me and go, you know what? It's not history yet. So how I approach it, I can either redeem it, to say it another way, I can make it work for me, not against me. Right? Four things. Let's embrace it with a real positive attitude. Now, is it just positive attitude? Well, that's a good start. Amen? Have you ever been around some people that just dread? Have you ever been around somebody that come up time, they're going to have to take a test in a week, you know, and they lose half their hair between now and the test because they're just petrified of what's ahead of them. I don't get that. I just look at it this way. You know what? It's going to come and it's going to go and I will get through it. So let's nail it. Okay, that went over well. Okay. A positive embrace, a positive anticipation. Let's have a clear understanding of the concept of time. Let's put it in the context of who we are as believers. And it's not history yet, so we can do something about it. We can manage it better than before. Second, confidence. How do you gain confidence in anything? Practice. Getting better at the stuff. So, this isn't a discussion on time management, but time management has to be mentioned. Not trying to turn people into a Stephen Covey, not trying to turn you into a daytimer addict or anything like that, other than this. How many of you would say that, just acknowledge this, you could do better on managing your time next year than this year? Raise your hand. Okay, hopefully every one of us. Those that aren't, we just may be totally clueless. So, are you with me? And then that'll lead to its own consequences. But anyhow, time management has to be addressed. If this area is unfamiliar to you, I'm just going to read my notes. Just type in the word time management in Google and see what you get. And then go from there, okay? But if we never get a handle on time management, then I'm going to make a bold statement. You'll never, you say a word that big? Yep. If you don't get a handle on time management, you'll never be able to lead a purposeful life in Christ. Because if you don't know what time it is, you'll lose. You'll be on the short end of the stick because time just keeps going. Yeah, but you know, everything happens in its own time. Okay, well, man, that's a great deal. So just live cluelessly and see where that gets you. How many of you know ignorance is never an excuse? That went over well. Okay, cool. Amen. Time management grants us the wonderful gift of doing the things in life that are really important. How many of you know the things in life that are really important have to be managed by time? If I don't give time to growing in Christ, how many of you know I won't grow in Christ? It just won't happen. If I don't give time to building relationship with friends, my family, then guess what? You won't grow closer. How many of you had high school friends that you were really close with in high school, but because you haven't done something called spending time with them, you're not as close as you were? Raise your hand. Oh, there's kids in high school that I used to hang with and just whatever. And it's not their fault. It's not my fault. It's just where it is that because we didn't value that time in the future, we didn't spend time together. So what happened to us? Oh, we still like each other. And all of that, and there's still fond memories, and there's whatever, there's, you know, the warm fuzzies of whatever. But the truth is that, you know, many people that I grew up with, that I was close to at one point in time, because I haven't given time, we're not close anymore. Okay? Same deal. All I'm just saying is, anything that's important requires a commitment to time. Okay, so realize this, that at any given point in time, though, whether we're living purposefully, whether we're redeeming the time or we're living cluelessly, just understand this, that here it's an encouraging thought, hopefully. There'll be no time in your life as a Christian that you'll be by yourself. Why is that important? Because he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Why is that important? Because there will be unexpected times take place. You're going to get news this year. This isn't prophetic. This isn't a bad confession. This is just real life. You'll hear some bad news. All I'm saying is you'll hear some bad news this year. You'll come across information that comes to you that will drop your jaw and bounce it off the floor. And you could have a tendency to freak out. It's like, what? Just realize this, you're never alone. At any given moment in time, God's with you. Amen? So we can always get back on track to redeeming the time. And then third point is this, time and purpose are always tied together. Never forget that. Time and purpose are always tied together. They're always tied together. Okay, Ephesians 5:15, we read that. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be unwise, Look at the last part of verse 17. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Isn't it interesting that Paul's talking about time, talking about wisely understanding the time, redeeming the time, and then he throws in the will of the Lord? How many of you know the will of the Lord would be equivalent to God's purpose, right? So God's purpose big for the big picture, but then God's purpose for now. In other words, if I don't live with a sense of understanding the timing of God, I could miss opportunities that God brings right before me to do something that's His will, His purpose in my life. Understand this. 1 Chronicles 12:32 speaks to the same thing. It says about the sons of Issachar that they had an understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. What Israel ought to do is the same thing as saying the purpose of God. If we don't understand the time, we're going to have a very difficult time. I say it will be impossible to live out a God-ordained, purposeful life. Can you live and get through life? Absolutely. People do it all the time. There's Christians that'll live and die and never, ever understand what the time is, and they'll never, ever step into the purpose that God had for their life. But they'll live and die. I don't know about you, but I don't want that. I don't want to just mark a day off of a calendar and go, well, I made it through. Baby, we made it through that month. No, let's understand the time and realize that in that time is where we can fulfill the purpose of God for our life. So that then when we lay our head down at night, at the end of our life, we can say with the Apostle Paul, you know what? I'm right on time. I'm right where I need to be in God. I've entered the race. I've run my race. I've finished the course. Now I can go home. Amen? Nothing that I would love more than for my wife and I to be able to get to that old white-haired part of our life. And I'll never dye mine, by the way. Anyhow, because it would look real funky. Babe, you can dye yours if you want. It's amazing how women develop a relationship with St. Clairol as they get older. Thank God for her. Amen. Okay. I would love to be able to... Here's how I would like my life to end. With my wife. As I'd like Dorette and I to look at one another and go, you know what, babe? To the best of our ability, we did it. We did what God called us to do. And let's see, is there anything else that's left undone? Nope. Okay, we can go home. Wouldn't that be cool? Okay, it may not happen like that, but we can prepare ourselves to live like that. To where that towards the, as we continue on, so that you know what? Direct this woman that I live with that's 52 years old, you know what? I believe that she's in the time of her life right now. But when she's 62, she'll be in the time of her life. When she's 82, she'll be in the time of her life. Why? Because if we're here and we're breathing, we can live with a sense of purpose. You can't live with a sense of purpose unless you live with a sense of time. The sons of Issachar had an understanding of the times. What does that say about all the other sons? You know, we don't know what exactly it says, but what we do know, it says that none of the other ones mentioned that they lived with this sense of understanding the time. Last thing, go to Philippians chapter 3. Fourth point, it's the fourth point if you're taking notes. I know it's not necessarily just a four-point type of a deal, but determination. Live with a never give up attitude. Paul said it this way to the Philippian church, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Verse 10 and 11, you know what that essentially Paul is saying? You know what? I need to do it right, is what Paul is saying. I want to understand Christ. I want to understand what the power of his resurrection can do for me here on this earth so that I can live purposefully so that when I come to the end of my life, I can look forward to spending eternity with God. 12, not that I've already attained. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not a know-it-all. And if they reacted, that means you just need to pray for them. Okay. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not perfect. Okay. But I press on. Everybody say, press on. In other words, that means it's kind of like the Energizer Bunny. We just keep going, right? I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has also laid hold of me, brethren. I don't count myself to have apprehended. In other words, I haven't accomplished it yet, but one thing I do. So listen, in parting and, you know, kind of ending out the new year, let me just say this. If there's anything that you can get a hold of through any scripture that I've read today, get a hold of this one. There's one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. Pastor, I can't forget what's happened. Okay? He's not talking about your conscious brain. Because the truth is there's things that you'll never forget. Okay? Things have happened. I'll never forget that my dad died when I was 6. I'll never forget that. So, but what he's saying is forgetting those things which are behind. He's saying not allowing those things that have happened in the past to color you for your future. Amen? That's what he's saying. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Have this attitude in us. This attitude that says, listen, I may have failed in the past, but I'm going to do better in the future. Amen? All right, I may not have reached every goal that I had in 2014, but you know what? I've got goals for 2015, and I'm going to try to reach them. Because listen, sometimes when we fail at things, sometimes when things don't happen the way we thought, and you know people that react this way, they just give up trying. They lose their determination. It knocks a hole in their confidence, and then they lose their determination, right? Build your confidence and become determined. He says in verse 14, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God. What's that? That's purpose. For the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So listen, as we go into 2015, hey, I'm with you. Can't believe we're already here. But here's the deal. It's here, and before you know it, we'll be standing up here and saying, you know what? As 2015 comes to a close, and we get ready to enter 2016, right? And we'll all be sitting here going, I can't believe it's 2016. Here's the thing. Let's embrace the future. Everybody say embrace. I mean, don't step back from it. Embrace it. Run forward. Go for it. Next year is not going to be the same as this year. It can be better. Amen? Oh, I heard somebody just say, yeah, but it could be worse. It could. But you'll not be alone. But here's the deal. Set yourself up to where it will be better. Let's just manage our time just a little bit better. You know what? If all of us did just that one thing, if we just managed our time a little bit better, it would be a better year all the way around. Amen? And then build your confidence. Just get better at managing your time. And as you do, you'll be more confident. Then begin to just go, you know what? My purpose in life will never be fulfilled unless I get a handle on this thing called time. And then just determine. Just grit your teeth and just go, you know what? As long as I can still breathe, I'm going to keep trying. My grandma used to always say, don't let a snapping turtle bite you, because we'd play with snapping turtles where I grew up. Don't let them bite you, because they won't give up until the sun goes down or you cut their head off. When you think about it, you know, as a kid, you think, really? So don't you go, duh. But the idea is just be determined. Say, you know what? I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to let it beat me. I'm not going to let life. I'm not going to let circumstances beat me. Because how many of you know, in Him, we're more than conquerors. Amen.